Answers. Answers. And more answers. Saith the Spirit of grace. To anyone who follows and walks out on this path of wanting to get to know me, know this, that as a tremendous benefit, as a tremendous benefit to coming to know me, along with coming to know me, are many, many, and really all of the important answers that you've had held up in front of me for so long, saith the Spirit of grace. For I'll answer these things to increase not your knowledge, but that I may increase your confidence, wherein you'll begin to soar to another place, absent of fear. For you'll need this kind of confidence to do the things that I'm going to ask you to do for me in these last days. And so, as a father that gives his very best, know this, that as you seek my face to know me, then know that the things that you desire, those questions concerning life and where this went wrong or that went wrong, oh, besetie, okay. Che dito fraso, te ice bach este. Here's a clarification. Here's a clarification. Ha, he said he would not take you back and reminisce of the past in hurts, as to bring up hurts and to bring up confusion. But many things in your life lie in unsettled territories of your thoughts and imaginations, in a place, in a land that you ditched most things, not knowing how to solve them, but you chose to move forward. Know this, that on this path, as a father, it's my delight to take you by the hand and to walk you through places and answer through lands where there has been leftover residue and rubbish that tends to bring doubts and fears. Oh, but I desire to solve and to bring forth the unfathomable kinds of peace that will bring forth the answers to your life, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. We're going to need that kind of confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I glorify you, Jesus. I magnify you. I glorify you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. I glorify you. She can put these up. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Don't transition the aisles, but just turn to somebody next to you close. Give them a hug. How about that? That'll be in your section of town. Hallelujah. Could you guys please? Marty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, I think, don't you? Thanks, Sherry. And be seated. For the third week in a row, we're going back to waking up through worship. This is our waking up through worship, where this is our limb that we're going down right now. Now, we've done corporate worship, but I'm talking about at home, or on the road. See, one thing you got to know is this. Might as well just go ahead and slap you with it real quick. Let me just kind of preface, and maybe to the point you'll say, why don't you just spit it out? I don't want to spit it out too fast and get any wrong ideas. It doesn't matter to me. Like, say, for instance, if we have a after service afterglow and you can't stay. Although I will say some of the best drinking is after hours. It really is. It's the sipping saints and around here. We're sipping on the new wine. But some of you, I know, you've got early morning jobs. You've got kids that you got to get up to school. You've got a whole lot of things. So nobody that I know that knows anything ever judges anybody, says, well, they didn't stay. Okay. Because we're doing everything we can to get you to the place where we are enticing you to get to know Him and to fall in love with Him. See, hunger brings on hunger. It does. The prerequisite of revival, I believe, is this. It's a hunger. It's a real hunger to know God. Have you ever given somebody like Dave's book? Now, this is just any example, or you gave him a revelation, but let's just say Dave's book. You gave him Dave's book, and you thought they were hungry, and you said, read this. My God, it answered some things for me and put me on a road to a fast track to really going into God like never before. And you come back 6 months later, and they say, no, I never. What did you get out of it? No, I never. Or they'll hear, or they'll read, or they'll hear the same things that you and I are hearing, and it just like you think, and you do your best not to judge. You think, whew, what? Where did it go? I mean, that revelation burned a hole so deep inside of me about the love of God and getting to know God. You think, my God. When anybody hears it, they're just going to get on that track. But then people decide. Born again, people decide. But here's the prerequisite. It's the prerequisite of hunger that causes you to go into a place. Now, hunger, like anything else, has to be cultivated. A little baby eating the baba, that's okay for a while. But when mom reaches over, because they're big enough to sit around the table, and they got them in the high chair, and they're just going from formula to scraps. Won't you ever take mashed potatoes and put it on the palate of their mouth? What is that little... They will take Gerber and throw it against the wall. Because you have invigorated their hunger, their cravings. To go into God, the prerequisite is what we're trying to solicit from you. And you have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate it. This goes back to my original thought. Nobody's ever going to judge you by leaving early. Or not leaving so late, I should say. But, I mean, there won't even be a second thought. But, here's the deal. If you're going to go where intimacy's at some point, it doesn't have to be here, because like I said, you may be various, and let me say it, religious and sundry. You may have a whole lot of different reasons why you have to not stick around sometimes. And this message is not about that at all. But you better know this. At some place in your life, on some kind, it doesn't even have to be every day, but some place, you better have a shade tree or a parking lot or a back alley or a hidden room or some place where you're sitting down with Him, getting to know Him, because love and intimacy is not just captivated. He can't just come and seize on you. You're walking along. You have to be the one who initiates it, because He's already initiated His love. So unless you're finding a hideaway, it doesn't have to be here. Believe me, I never judge anybody based on these services. But knowing this, intimacy. What was it that God told Dave? Somebody could help me here. He said, concerning private worship, he said, God said something like, I can't love me in you for you. I can't love me, God, in you for you. In other words, I can't mandate and make you want more of me. Now, you can go to heaven by the cross, but you can't get to know Him unless there is some courting going on in your life. So the courting doesn't have to be here, but someplace there has to be a shade tree that you're sitting under two or three times a week, or an orange tree, or an afternoon delight where you're walking in the evening, or a hidden bedroom, or there's got to be some still away in your life where you're courting Him, or this just doesn't connect. He can't come and seize you, and all of a sudden you're just like, see, a grace line, I can pray for you and transfer healing based on my faith. I can never, ever, ever date Him for you. Court Him. I can never take and give you the intimacy that it takes unless you're doing something. And you understand this, but this is what these meetings are all about. And waking up through worship is part of Ephesians chapter 5, 14, where he said that we would wake up and worship. Boy, don't you know, those of you that have found private worship, you found out that it will wake you up. Hallelujah. It will begin to wake up primarily the intimacy part of you and will transition you to being. Once you begin to transition into a place where intimacy takes up in your life, then God becomes a very beautiful. He becomes something that you can't live without. Because you can know the Word and be mean. And you can know the Word and be miserable. You can know the Word and just be miserable. You know why people are miserable with other people? Because they're miserable with themselves. Because they don't like themselves so much. Because all they can see about themselves is faults and failures, and that torments them, and so they're so mad at themselves usually that they're mad at other people. But once you begin to sit in His presence on some kind of systematic basis, even if it's not every day, but you find those stillaways, you'll find out how much He loves you. And really how uncondemning He is about the parts of your life that has to change. And when you begin to see how much He loves you, boy, you begin to love yourself in a way that only God really loves and respects people. And when you love yourself in the right, not egotistical, get out of my way, but the kind, not the kind of I'm entitled, but the kind that He's loving me, and my goodness, if He's loving me, I can give you plenty of room. Hallelujah. I can give you plenty of room. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, we're going to jump right into it. This is the throne room. I wish that audio people listening to this could watch this. But there's two chairs set on a three-tier stage here. I got another chair sitting on the ground floor, which I'll be sitting in, which will be my private place of worship. This will be tomorrow morning. I'll be sitting down, and most every day of my life, I begin with private worship. Now, the things I've got to tell you again, I need to reiterate this. Some things tonight will not be a standard. Please do not adopt them as a standard, meaning that's the way I should do it. Most of, or a lot of what I'm going to say to you is suggestions of convenience based on the way that I do it. I'm going to give you word. Now, the Word is a standard. You've got to hold to the Word. And the Word will give you plenty of room to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said when I started doing these things, He said, just tell them what you do. So they can use it as a sounding board, as of a convenience. They can understand it and say, okay, I can use that. God can employ that in my life. Or He can, the adaptation of, I can use part of that, and this is the way that my life is, or this is the way that where I'm at right now. So a lot of these are suggestions of convenience, and use them. Listen to what He, the Holy Spirit, is saying more about what I'm saying than what I'm saying. Does that make sense? That's important to you. This is tomorrow morning. This is up. This is where we're really wanting to be. I need a cell phone. Somebody. Is that the... Yeah. That's good. That's good. I just got it. Okay. Now, I didn't see this until a little bit ago. See, in Ephesians, the Word says we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Now, for those that, as I said, the audio portion, we've got two chairs seated. They're facing each other. That's where we really want to be, face to face. But this is where we're really usually at. Because usually the mental picture is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's true. So that when we say we're seated with Him in heavenly places, we usually think of ourselves as seated right next to Him. Well, we can be, and we should be, because we are seated with Him in heavenly places. That is not a figment. It's not a figure of speech. It's a reality. Our born-again human spirit has been created in the classification to have communion with God at all times. That's John chapter 5. Jesus is talking to the woman at the... Well, John chapter 4. Talking to the woman at the well. But even though... 4 or 5. I'm thinking as I'm going along. Even though we're seated with Him in heavenly places, this is the normal thought process. I'm seated next to Him. But listen, do you know this is where we're supposed to be? Not like this. We're supposed to be like this. We're supposed to be in face-to-face communion with Jesus Christ. Now, the positional truth of the Word sets us there. But worship, intimacy, brings us there to where that His presence begins to inhabit our life. The Word says that He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, I can walk by faith and get to heaven never feeling God. But you know you're not supposed to be that way. Now, this may sound like a paradox, or it may sound like to some of you like, now, He teaches us faith, but then He teaches us that we're supposed to feel God. Listen, I'm not talking about going by your feelings of your flesh. You're never supposed to live by your flesh. But God wants you, as a born-again son or daughter, to go to a place where He can endow and pour over on you His holy presence and His Holy Spirit, so much so that as I taught the last few weeks, it tsunamis, it pools out of your life, and it goes from your spirit into your soul, so that your soul begins to be happy, baptized. Those are all, but really, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And it's that joy that is your strength. It's that joy that causes you to walk into an insane asylum or into a hospital and say, look, I've got peace. I've got power. I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a spirit of timidity. Now, over there, I can live under torment and say, I know that that's a fact, but I'm still living under the feeling of this. You're sure not going to feel like going into a hospital and trying to lay hands on people when you yourself are so tormented and under distress. But if you can look at Him face to face, then everything that He is will begin to be transferred over to you, because He inhabits the praises of His people. Let me tell you something. Here's where I hate to use cliches. It's so hard not to, or what should I say, stereotypes. And to say most of the body, but probably it is a fact. The body of Christ is at the most attention deficit that they've ever been. There's a commercial, not all parts of it are absolutely great, but it epitomizes what I'm saying. It's got people on their cell phones and they're making all kind of blunders. They're running into people. They're walking over people. They're doing all kind of stupid stuff. Because listen, nobody, this is the age of technology, but nobody lives in the moment. Hardly anybody or very few people live in the moment. I'm talking about all attention is right here. I'm eating with you. I'm talking with you. I'm spending time with you. And so that transitions over with God. So in all actuality, this is where most of the body of Christ is. Father, I love you. I worship you. Hold on. Text. Oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. Golly. Wait a second. Text this guy. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Oh, and by your stripes I am healed. You're not walking in intimacy when there's an attention deficit syndrome in the spirit. You must go to a place. If it's not in here, it's got to be a shade tree, an orange tree, a path in your backyard. It's got to be someplace where you've got to lay all these things aside and say, you know what? The world is not going to stop turning if for the next 30 minutes or hour I dismiss, divorce, and set aside all these things so that I can look into His face, and eventually I'm sitting here and saying, Jesus, I love you. Now, we discussed over the last few weeks Psalms 91. Psalms 91 goes into a lot of different things about the noisome pestilence. The noisome pestilence are all the different things that when on 5 o'clock or whatever time you go into private worship or whatever time you spend in private worship. Private worship, again, real simple, is just you saying loving words to God and Jesus. That's real simple. Now, this part is a standard because it's the Word of God. Simple words are best words. Private worship is not petition. Petition is I'm asking you for something. Private worship is you just telling God how much you love Him, appreciate Him, adore Him, want to get to know Him. You want more of Him. You want all of everything that He is, and you're asking Him to show. You're just pouring out your heart towards Him. That's private worship. I said, according to Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5, where those angels, there is the epitome. They say the same words over and over again. Now, again, you don't have to say the exact same words over and over again. That's not a standard. But the example is true. Say things that your mind can dislodge from itself of any kind of trying to, you know, make something happen, and say simple words of I love you, I worship you. Now, he's reminding me of something. A couple weeks ago I said something about I don't have necessarily those certain sit-down times as much where I just, that is my time for praying in tongues. I need to go back and not necessarily correct that, but to clarify it. If you have just been filled with the Spirit, or if you have not developed a very strong, prolific habit of praying in tongues, then my suggestion to you is this, is that you, before you even venture into private worship real strong, is that you learn to get into a strong prayer life of praying in tongues. Praying tongues is really, it is that staple. It is the vitamin C. It is He, Christ in you through the Holy Spirit is the one that begins to work the work. Now, I'm not saying that I have arrived, but I will say this, because of years and years of praying in tongues, I have developed, the Holy Spirit in me has developed, a habitual, ongoing, all day long, without fault, not trying to even make it happen. Now, I'm praying in tongues all the time. I'm dating Candy on Thursday. We're headed to the beach. When we're not singing, you know, when we're not singing, one of our 50 songs or having lunch or something, you know, she'll look over at me and she goes, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, you were just kidding with me. We were just and a few minutes ago, she's not mad about it. She's just like, and I'm right back because it's the habit. If I'm reading the Word, I've learned to pray in tongues under my breath and not speak so loud that it gets my attention with my mind, so that when I'm reading the Word during the day, I'm praying in tongues. I'm walking praying in tongues. I'm even in worship, I'm in and out of tongues. So sitting down and saying I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes in tongues is not necessarily on my to-do kind of list in spiritual things. It's just everything that I do on a normal basis. But if you have not developed that, and that's fine if you haven't, because many people just get born again and then they get Spirit-filled. We have what we call, and here again, this is not necessarily standard, but I would introduce this to you, the 20-20-20, something like that. I would say if you said this, I've got an hour a day I can give to God, an hour out of 24. Now you can adapt this, you can increase it, or you can decrease it. Let's say you had 30 minutes or 45, you can do the same standard. If you told me, Pastor, I've got an hour a day that I can give to God, what would you ask me to do? I would say you need to go to 20-20-20. I would say spend 20 minutes nonstop of praying in tongues. Actually, I'd start you off with worship. Spend 20 minutes of just worshiping. I love you, I love you, I love you. Then, just like punching a time clock, the next 20 minutes I would go into tongues. I would just sit there, and I'm going to give you an example. And if my mind got employed someplace else, that's not like private worship. I would be praying in tongues. I would be giving, because tongues is different than private worship. Private worship can't give you what tongues give you, but tongues cannot give you what private worship gives you. Tongues edifies you, brings you into revelation knowledge. It begins to reveal the compass of your future in front of you, and it begins to bring you into the mind of Christ. The next 20 minutes, I would bring in the Word of God, and I would begin to read for 20 minutes. If I didn't finish that book, I'd go right back to that book the next day. But I would read for 20 minutes. That way I'm getting a mixture. Every avenue of God. I'm praying in tongues. I'm worshiping, praying in tongues. And then I am meditating the Word of God. That's what I would introduce to new believers and those that have not really developed per se in all those areas. Once you get down the road and you've gotten a strong base of praying in tongues and you've got a strong base of the Word and you've got a strong base of worship and all those kind of things, then the Holy Spirit can take you into individual places where you get the full glamour or the full expression of that time of worship. Now, I'm going to sit down here in just a moment. I'm going to begin to worship God. But as I said, as we can't go back to it, but Psalms 91 calls it the noisome pestilence. And I said pestilence, it's noisome because when you sit down, and guess what? Ring, ring, clue phone. Hello, what is it? For the rest of your life, no matter how spiritual you get, no matter how many people you raise from the dead, no matter how many deaf, dumb, and demonic people, how many maimed, you're still living in an earth suit. And even though you can keep going higher and higher spiritually, you have an earth suit. An earth suit can still sin. It doesn't mean you are as vulnerable to sin as somebody that has just come into the kingdom. Your growth spiritually should more inoculate you from the temptation of sinning. You know, blatant sin. But you also have a knowledge that you're living in an earth suit. And living in an earth suit does this. Earth suits have an analytical mind. You have the mind of the Spirit, but you also have a mind of the earth suit. The earth suit wants to figure out things. The earth suit wants to solve problems. The earth suit can hear from opposing forces, which are demonic forces, which will come to be the noisome pestilence. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to worship Him. But one of the things that my earth suit does is this. It remembers at inopportune times, I have scheduled this time to worship God. Let's say I've prayed in tongues 20 minutes a day, worshiped God, and done all those things for, let's say, a few months. And I feel like, you know what, God, I just want to go into the full I want to really get to know You through worship. I'm going to spend an hour. I got an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I'm just going to sit here and just tell You how much I love You. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Going back to the first lesson, we said the first thing you need to know is this. You have a coach. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's right alongside of you. Jesus said He's with you, but He's going to be in you. He's going to coach you and He's going to tell you how to get past all these distractions. Now, when I sit down, I know this about my earth suit. It's amazing. I could have cared less about a whole lot of things for the last few weeks. I could have been a slob, you know, just not done anything, not fixed this, fixed that, or done any of my chores.
But when I sit down, you know, I could have watched all the TV in the world and my earth suit never said anything to me about it. I could have fished, I could have hunted, my earth suit never said anything to me about it. But when I go to my Father and I begin to want to worship Him, and when I want to bring this dialogue into a place where it's no longer seated side by side, and I'm treating Him like a buddy sitting side of me instead of a companion that I want to look pupil to pupil, I want to go to that place. My earth suit begins to tell me, you need to do this, you need to do that. Let me give you something of observation, suggestion. Now, again, this is me, and this is personal. But He told me to get kind of personal because some of you may be able to use it. This helps. This has helped me for years. For years I've done this. I don't know how many years. Many, many years. I have a things to do list. Okay. That doesn't mean they always get done right away. My things to do list is broke down in four categories. Basically, my life is personal and church. Actually, you know, God's everything. But real, you know, to be able to break things down, I have four categories. I have things to do. Okay, I go through a lot of yellow pads. Now, I could put this on the computer, but that takes too much time. Yellow pads are fine. Okay, I got a things to do. I got personal now, flip the page, personal later. I've got church now, means this has to be done today, next few days, or in this week. I mean, it's pressing. This thing needs to be done. Or I've got church later. I will invariably, week after week, monitor those things. I will check. It feels so good when I get to do that. I put a check here and straight line, check, straight line, check, straight line. That feels so good. Your brain, now any psychologist will tell you, this is something psychological, but it's of the Holy Spirit if it helps you to go to a place where He's at. Any psychologist will tell you, when you transfer things on a things to do list, it takes it out of a place of complexity here and puts it on paper, and you will feel like, your emotions will feel like, and your brain will begin to tell you, that's solved. It's presently solved. You don't have to fool with it. Presently, you can let it go. And it works. I'll have 20 personal now. I'll have 15 personal later. I'll have 18 or whatever. It may take me 30 minutes, like on a Monday or a Tuesday. That rides with me for the next week or two or however long. Otherwise, noise and pestilence will come up and they'll start talking to you. Sometimes, here's the deal, and we're not going to get to this tonight. Lord help me. But this is good. Amen. You need to know this. I wanted to get to warfare worship. I wanted to get to a lot of different places. But if you will transfer, if you take this suggestion and begin to transfer this, you'll find that 90% of the sitting and... Did I give you your cell phone back? Or what did I do with it? Okay. 90% of you trying to sit there and do this will go away. The rest of it will either be leftovers that the enemy tries to bring, accusations, fears, because what I'm wanting to do, here's what I'm wanting to do. What I'm wanting to do more than anything else is I'm wanting to go to a place where, Psalms 131, why don't we read that? That's where we were at last week, and we'll just go right back there. Terry, make sure that I don't walk off with your cell phone. All right. Hallelujah. This is where we were at last week, so we'll just jump right in here. We'll have number 4, maybe number 5 after this. So keep coming back, because we're all wanting to go into private worship, aren't we? Number 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, we discussed that last week, and it deserves it. Going back into it again. Too high, too lofty, too great a matters. That is not the lawsuit that may take. It may be. It's not necessarily the paramount kinds of bowling over matters of they're going to, you know, I got a lawsuit here. I got five lawsuits, or I just got the diagnosis of cancer. Yes, all those things sound like great matters. But I can tell you this. When you go to the end of this and he quiets his soul down, he's saying this. Anything that is keeping this dialogue from taking place, it's a matter too great for my mind to handle. It's a distraction. And I don't care if it's tying my shoe. It's a matter too great for me to discuss with myself right now. I want you, Jesus, and I only want you alone. So that the dialogue, when I sit down, I'm flesh. And the reason why I said I'm flesh and I got an earth suit is I don't get offended with myself, because yesterday I sat down. I'm not saying literally yesterday, but I did worship. But when this happens, it doesn't offend me because I know who I am. I know who all humanity is based on the Word of God. Yesterday may have been a pristine day. I sit down and 5 minutes into it, I'm feeling all of heaven, you know, and my concentration is there. Father, I love you. And when I pour my love into that statement, I feel it. And I can feel His rapport back to me. And there is no, and you guys know this, there is no greater joy on planet Earth than to look up and to have a pristine thought with full expression and say, I love you. And to feel that go out of you and captivate His heart and feel His heart captivate yours. And when you said, I love you, there was no other matter that was contesting that. You were absolutely, totally giving the very best of your intimacy to the Father at that moment in time. And oh my, when you begin to do that, you can feel the rapport of heaven. Now, some of His greatest joy comes when you have to fight noisome pestilence to go into that place. I may have sat down yesterday and in 2 minutes been in His presence, but I may sit down today because I'm flesh and have all the noisome pestilence come and fight me throughout the whole time. But this is what I know. What does the psalmist say? Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. And he identifies what part of himself. He says, as a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is as a weaned child. I'm laughing. You hear the laughter in my reading because we just had Josiah Trey. Candy's been down there for the last couple nights. I'm glad to have my wife back. She's been helping out. Josiah, like any other baby, obviously he is not weaned. He shouldn't be weaned right now. During the night, his mother, let's say right now, has something that no one else can provide for him. She's nursing him. And Nana can't help. Nobody can help. But Josiah cries until he gets what he wants. Okay? And after he gets what he wants, then he cries later. And he wants it again. And he wants it again. And he wants it again. Well, they got to go through that process. But the fact of the matter is, at some point down the road, Josiah is going to get his last. And he's going to get his last bottle. And he's going to get, now that may be way down the road, and I don't want to be around when that happens. Because I want him to get anything and everything he wants, you know. I just tell him, you know, make him happy. Don't let him cry. But the psalmist said, my soul is as a weaned child. The important part about this is that you know that if you will stick to it long enough, and even if, folks, I can't tell you. I hope this helps you. I hope in some sense the word misery loves company. I can't tell you how many times I've said I love you, maybe millions of times, and felt that I was talking to the carpet. and wonder why I'm sitting there saying I love you. But I know this, having gone to that place and knowing that my soul is under a barrage, and it may not be just, many times it's not just the natural soul, many times there's an entity, meaning there's a spirit that comes in and presses against my mind and tries to get me to, rather than sharing my heart with God, to go off and fight battles and go off into foreign lands and fight this and to fight that. And so after an hour, I'm exasperated. I've never felt the presence of God. My mind is weary. But I know this. I know that my soul is a child. And I know that it will talk to me as long as I will let it, or as long as an entity is fueling it. Now, I pray to God soon we get into warfare worship, because that is really, really going to help. Because there is a way in your worship. Worship is first meant to be intimacy. But there is another place where worship goes, Psalms 8, Psalms 149. I'm just giving you places that you can go to where we're going next week, that will begin to institute the sword of the Spirit. And when in your worship, you'll find that not only do you have to discipline yourself, maybe the checklist, maybe the 100 things that you wrote down works, until a force comes in and begins to press your brain. Now, nothing works. Now, when you feel that there's something pressing against your private worship to keep you from going in, it's not going to be just the discipline of saying, I'm going to bring my thoughts back into every point of intimacy, meaning something. Now you're going to have to go to a place where you're going to have to go into warfare worship, and you're going to have to quote the Word of God and speak the Word of God in a way that will be conducive to causing whatever is there, whether it's, I might speak plain to you, we don't like to think this, but folks, listen. When you walk into a room, and normally everything's great, and then you walk into a room, and there's a real attitude there. Now, that's never happened among any of you spouses. ...99% of the time, if you could just, and I don't know, maybe it's probably not good that we can't see, because we probably wouldn't be able to eat our lunch, but there's somebody standing over there in that corner causing a mess. Now, you can sit down with it, and you can go to bed, you can sleep, and it'll come into your bedroom, and it'll talk to you. It'll cause anger. It'll cause fear. It won't necessarily raise its head so strong. You won't have poltergeist kinds of, you know, floating objects and all this. No, they want to stay down below the scenes enough to make you think, that's him. That old meanness is him. That's me thinking this. When in reality, they're there. And they'll be there until somebody or you yourself begin to speak up and take the Word of God as a sharp two-edged sword and saying, I'm going into the Father, and the atmosphere of my home is going to change. Hallelujah. Another suggestion. I'm not in your home, but turn on. Now I like Terry. I like a lot of stuff here. We've got a lot of stuff, new stuff we're doing. Let that play during the day. Don't, you know, I've got a TV. I've not been convicted to give it away either. I watch good stuff. If I see anything vulgar on there, I'll turn it real quick. So don't come tell me, well, this God told me not to do this, so you need... No. That's your conviction. Don't make other your convictions, and don't even insinuate to try to make other your convictions other people's convictions. God, that you can't do that. Here's a suggestion. Create an atmosphere of worship in your home where that thing is not being played all the time. Let most of the time, let and here's another suggestion. So again, these are not standards, so you can throw them out. But let 90% of the time of the atmosphere of your home be melodious praise. Or if there's anything going on, let there be worship going through that. It will create an atmosphere where angels like to come in and sit down and they're partying in there. Hallelujah. If you've got that old crazy thing, it's just noise. It's just noise. And you don't even need to go to sleep by it. Well, No. That's noise. That's noise and pestilence. When you get up in the morning trying to worship God, all that junk's running through your soul. Oh, now this is just good preaching. Hallelujah. Them things that are standing huddled over in the corner that makes you want to cuss somebody out, they don't like that worship. They don't like it. If you'll put it on and worship God, it'll also be more conducive when you sit down to privately worship God. That atmosphere is already, that's your... Now, I know some of you live with sinners and some of you live in different places, and I feel for you. But if you've got a room that you can say, that's my room, put it on in there and create that room as a sanctuary unto God. Create that room as a sanctuary unto God. And don't condemn them because she's not born again yet and she's got to have that thing as a pacifier. Or he's not born again, he's got to have it as a pacifier. That's all they want to do is flip. Listen. You do what you need to do, but create the atmosphere. Now, I'm talking to people that want to go into God, right? That's what I believe I'm talking to. I'm not talking about, you know, we're not talking about the blood of Jesus here. We're not talking about you just getting born again. We're talking about excelling into a place where we're able to take our city for God. Amen? And for us to do that, we've got to go to a place where we wake up. And that's part through private worship. And I hope this helps you out. Amen. I don't want to give you too much, but praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give all the glory to God. Amen. There's about 50 other things that are probably running through my head, but we'll save it. Hallelujah. So you can digest it. Praise God. Go buy you some yellow pads. That's a supernatural way. It's amazing. You know, you can supernaturally get the natural things can get rid of devils. You can't necessarily cut a devil out, but it's amazing. The devil really is so powerless that medications will take care of some problems that are directly related to demonic spirits. How much more that if you know things by the Spirit of God, you're able to take care of things and go directly in to the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I love you. And I'm so thankful. Father, I know so very little. And yet we're all learning together. So I'm asking you to take us into this next place. And all those under the sound of my voice, that you'll just cause us all to go into that place. Shield us. Keep us. Now, I know when we teach like this, the wicked one hates it. We really don't care because we know who we are and we know who you are. And Father, so shield this. Keep this word. Let it go down deep inside of us and bear great fruit. We bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many of you know we are going into revival? Amen. So, where is your private worship place? Where is your shade tree? Where is your room? Amen. So we're going to put some offering dispensers up here. And who's got that tonight? Hallelujah. Let me just bless you and bless this offering. Abba, we worship you. Now the blind see and the lame walk. Deaf hear, the dumb speak. The dead are raised.
demoniacs are set free. And all the monies that we need for this revival comes in. Father, I love You. And I love these that have come alongside and said, yes, we believe that God has called us to this purpose. So touch our hearts. All those businessmen, all those businesswomen, all of everybody that's out there in the force. In a day and hour where it takes supernatural provision, Father, we call this house full. Full of everything that we need for this revival. And we give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Candy and I love you. And we will see you Friday night or Sunday morning. Hallelujah.